It was an extraordinary start to match day 7. UEFA Champions League football in January is a treat. Liverpool made it 7 wins from 7 and are through to the last 16, but were denied being crowned league phase winners by a dramatic injury time goal for Barcelona in Lisbon to edge Benfica 5-4. In total, there were 33 goals and 5 red cards. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and after a month or so away, what a beginning we had to this week. The noise in the background you can hear is the Metropolitano, as 70,000 Atleti supporters hail their heroes after Atletico came from behind with 10 men to beat Leverkusen 2-1 at home. It finished Atalanta 5, Sturm Graz 0, Monaco 1, Aston Villa 0. Those were the two early games. And in the late games, along with Atleti's win, Slovan Bratislava were beaten 3-1 at home by Stuttgart. Club Brugge drew 0-0 at home with Juventus. Benfica 4, Barcelona 5. Yep, you heard that right. 5-4 win away from home for Barcelona. Bologna 2, Dortmund 1. Sevena Zvezda 2, PSV Eindhoven 3. And Liverpool 2, Lille 1. Joining me tonight is the Northern Ireland women's manager Tania Oxterby.
Hello.
And football commentator Jonathan Beck.
Hello, a bit breathless at the moment.
Extraordinary. We'll get on to the game that you were commentating on in a moment as the Atleti players make their way off. It was a brilliant performance in the end from Diego Simeone and his team. But we have to start with Barcelona winning 5-4 away at Benfica. Evangelos Pavlidis, Tania, scored a first half hat-trick and he ends up on the losing side because Rafinha scores a winner in the 96th minute. Incredible stuff.
I mean, what a game for the neutral to watch. You know, a goal fest. But if you are Benfica and you are their manager, you are absolutely fuming, to try and put it politely, because, you know, to score 4 goals at home against Barcelona and not win the game is, it's got to be incredibly frustrating. But shows the quality, obviously, that Barcelona have.
When they were winning, Benfica were pretty close to a top 8 position, which goes straight through to the round of 16. They will end this Tuesday down in 18th because it's so tight. But Barcelona move on to 18 points and every chance by the end of match day 7 that they could be automatically through to the round of 16. Robert Lewandowski with a couple of goals, but a word on Rafinha quickly, Jonathan Beck, because he has become a brilliant finisher this season for Barcelona. He's got 11 goals in the Spanish Liga, and in the UEFA Champions League now, he's got 8 goals in the league phase. 8 goals for someone who doesn't necessarily play up front. That's where Robert Lewandowski plays. Those are serious numbers for the Brazilian.
I mean, we've all seen him display amazing prowess and he's just that kind of complete player. He's become a much more complete player since leaving Leeds for Barcelona, but he's a brilliant player to have on your team. And as a support striker, which you can do as well as playing wide, for someone like Lewandowski, you always know he's got the ability to beat players or deliver that goal, which was so important tonight.
Amazing stuff. So Barcelona 5-4 winners away at Benfica. They only equalised in the 86th minute, by the way, and won it in the 96th minute in Lisbon. Barcelona are a serious threat this season in the UEFA Champions League. Tania and Jonathan, you were commentating for Matchday Live on another thrilling encounter involving a Spanish La Liga side, Atleti, who hosted Leverkusen, and this one turned out to be an absolute thriller.
The referee has been told to come over to the screen and have a look, and he's going to his top pocket, and this is bad news for Atletico Madrid, because it's not yellow, it's red. And Pablo Barrios, for a high challenge with his studs into the calf of Nordi Mukiele, has been sent off. Oh, the lovely cross to the far post, and the header is in! It's chipped for Incapier! And Piero Incapier, in stoppage time, nods across the goalkeeper and into the corner. Leverkusen breaking Atletico Madrid hearts right at the end of this first half. They lead here by a goal to nil. Atletico are in, and it's Alvarez, and it's Julian Alvarez! What a breakaway goal! Leverkusen almost scoring at one end. Atletico Madrid breaking to score at the other. They're down to 10, but they're all level. It is Julian Alvarez. It's Atletico Madrid 1, Bayer Leverkusen 1. And a clumsy foul to give a free kick. Oh, it's a second yellow card as well. And Leverkusen are down to 10. It's a second yellow card for the challenge on Simeone. The goal scorer for Leverkusen sent off with 15 minutes to go. Loose one from Granit Xhaka. And Alvarez dancing around the keeper. Oh, he's won it. Granit Xhaka's mistake. Julian Alvarez made no mistake. Some quick feet and a brilliant finish as he took it around the keeper and slided it into the unguarded net.
What a finish at the Metropolitano. You heard that roar in the background of Jonathan's commentary. Sensational comeback for Atleti. Tail of the tape then, the opening goal in the first minute of first half added on time after the sending off from Barrios in the 23rd minute. Then Alvarez equalised on the break. The goal scorer for Leverkusen sent off in the 76th minute, and Alvarez winning it in the 90th minute. Where to start? I mean, before the first red card, Tanya, Leverkusen started the game brilliantly and then almost found it more difficult to break down Atleti until they did then find the opener on half-time.
Yeah, we said in commentary that, you know, this is a team, Atletico Madrid is a team you don't want to have a player sent off because of their siege mentality and their mindset, and they're already structurally very, very good without the ball. So, you know, Leverkusen were dominating possession and moving the ball really well, but then when the player was sent off, essentially they really struggled to get any kind of real momentum and kind of flow to their game. And look, I think that the goal just before halftime, you know, we thought then, well, now all you have to do is control the game. Now all you have to do is not be drawn into the battle and not drawn into the, I suppose, the disruptive mindset that the Atleti were trying to get them to, you know, come into. And second half, they didn't do that. And it became Atletico Madrid's game, really, because they were playing on their terms and didn't feel like Leverkusen ever really had any control in the second half, to be honest.
Which is a surprise for a side famous, really, for their control over the last 18 months of games. Xavi Alonso, a coach who is so tactically good, so structured, and they just tended to get caught out on the break time after time with their positioning.
Yeah, it was the long ball, wasn't it? They never really dealt with it, and it wasn't necessarily their structure. They seemed to have numbers back there. It was more around who was looking then to go and get first contact, who was giving the balance behind the ball, and, you know, letting balls bounce, like fundamental kind of, you know, things that when you are, you know, the last player or you're one of the last players there in your rest defence, you can't afford to do that. And look, Atletico Madrid managed the game exceptionally well. As I said, drew Leverkusen into the fight, which is probably not what they necessarily wanted to be doing. They wanted to be dictating the game with the ball. And you've got to credit them, you know, Atletico Madrid. The way that they, you know, took their two opportunities was exceptional as well.
It's a relatively new stadium, this, for Atletico. They left their traditional home of the Calderon, which is one of the most atmospheric places to watch football. Nights like this, they have transferred that atmosphere and noise so well. It was a real bear pit, and if ever you've seen a set of supporters and players unite when they went down to 10 players and kind of as a collective be such a force, I think we saw that. And that moving forward for Atletico in the league, where they're having a great season, it could be a very potent threat in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, a couple of big games coming up. Villarreal in the league, and then that last UEFA Champions League game away in Austria against Salzburg. So a big few weeks. And they did it here. You know they'll do it regardless of how Atleti are playing. They had two attempts on target. They scored with both of them. They had 37% possession. Yeah. And yet they still looked as dangerous as Leverkusen.
On to 15 points, Tanya, Atleti. So they're third. Let's see what happens on Wednesday, but you would imagine we'll be in the top eight going into that final game. Quickly on Julian Alvarez, who now has six goals in the UEFA Champions League. You always thought it was a brilliant signing for Manchester City, but I mean, he led the line often on his own with Antoine Griezmann close to him, but he was outstanding, not just his goals, but playing with a man short, he really stepped forward.
Yeah, we spoke about it in commentary about the fact that from an Atletico Madrid point of view, they didn't move away from what they're known for in terms of their front press, and he led that from the front, you know, and that allowed them to get higher up the pitch. I think that gave a little bit more perceived pressure as well to Leverkusen, because I'm not really sure whether they seemed a little bit unsure as to whether to try and build through the press or actually try and go over the press, and that little bit of confusion, that little bit of uncertainty actually played into Atleti's hands, and Alvarez led the line brilliantly with and without the ball tonight, I thought.
So Atletico 2-1 winners against Leverkusen. I've mentioned they are third. Leverkusen are still in the top eight. They are sixth. Had they won this game, they would have pretty much been straight through to the round of 16, but a big match day 8 fixture for Leverkusen coming up. Everybody is playing second fiddle to Liverpool at the moment in this league phase. They have won again, this time against Lille. They took the lead in the first half through Mo Salah. Lille were then reduced to 10 men, but then they equalised through Jonathan David, who's having a brilliant goal-scoring season. But there was a winner at Anfield, and it came 23 minutes from time.
They can still go on and win this. Elliott shot, deflected in, they're back into the league. Freakish deflection, but he's been a real life spark since coming up. 2-1 Liverpool.
Jonathan Pearce on commentary. We can head to another man who covered this game for Matchday Live, Rob Daly. Rob, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast this evening.
No problem, Chris. Glad to be on.
I mean, astonishing. 7 wins from 7. They were seconds away from winning the league phase until Barcelona scored that late goal. They may well wrap it up on Matchday 8, but I mean, what a stat for Arne Slot and his team to have this 100% record.
It's only the second time, Chris, that they've won their opening 7 games in a Champions League campaign. It's one defeat now in 29 matches, and that was the League Cup loss at the hands of Spurs in that semi-final first leg recently. So look, they're on a remarkable run, in truth, and really they didn't really have to break a sweat tonight. Yes, they had the scare when Lille pulled one back, as you heard there, to level the game through Jonathan David, his 18th goal of the season. And a reminder, he's out of contract in the summer, the Canadian international. But you always back Liverpool that they would find that winning goal, albeit via a huge deflection. They didn't feel the need to go after the game, expend too much energy. And I think this is part of their success as well, Chris, this season, is that they're able to win some of these games comfortably, drop down to second gear and conserve their energy for whatever is the next challenge on the horizon.
Yeah, host Ipswich Town in the English Premier League at the weekend. The games come thick and fast. It was another, as we almost say this every week, another noteworthy night for Mo Salah too.
It certainly was, Chris. He was already Liverpool's record European goal scorer. But tonight, by getting that opening goal, and it was a sublime finish, he's now the first Liverpool player to score 50 European goals for the club. He could have had a hat-trick, in truth, on the night. But the goal itself was sublime. A slight loose touch from Lille in the middle of midfield. Tsimikas with a challenge, Gravenberg first touch, Liverpool deep inside their own half at this point. And then Curtis Jones just plays the most majestic through ball, bending into the path of Salah, who started making these inverted runs in field rather than staying out wide. And the pass told Salah what to do. It slowed down in front of the keeper, edge of the box, and Salah just bends it into the top corner. A brilliant way to bring up that milestone, his 22nd goal of this season as well. He went and did his famous sit on the advertising board celebration too. So another good night, another notable night for Mo Salah.
Yeah, I mean, incredible numbers for the Egyptian. From Lille's point of view, their final game is at home to final. They've had a brilliant league phase themselves. I've had some unbelievable difficult fixtures. They've played Liverpool tonight. They've played Atletico. They've played Real Madrid. They've played Juventus. Did they show enough this evening to suggest that they can get the points on Matchday 8, either to finish in the top 8 or to secure certainly one of the top 16 spots and therefore go to the knockout phase playoffs as one of the seeded sides?
I certainly think so. They take on Arne Slot's former team Feyenoord, ironically, on match day 8. And they'll have to go into their game without Benjamin André, who got himself a yellow card and a subsequent suspension for that final league phase match. But they controlled the ball extremely well. And this was something that Slot spoke about in his pre-match press conference. He says, it doesn't matter whether it's Real Madrid or Atletico, who Lille have beaten this season, let's remember. They will press aggressively and they will play out from the back. And they did that extremely well. And they've got a really young core group of players through the heart of that team that did well at containing Liverpool. But this is almost the lesson at the moment when you're dealing with them. If you switch off for a moment, if you leave a gap, Liverpool will punish, and that's what they did for the opening goal, and it helped turn them the subsequent win.
Liverpool 2-1 winners at home, 7 wins from 7. Rob, thank you very much for joining us. Terrific insight.
Thanks, Chris.
Rob Daly there, he'll be back on Matchday Live this time tomorrow, taking you through Wednesday's games. But we can hear now from Mo Salah, who was one of the goal scorers, as you heard from Rob, full of praise for the match winner, Harvey Elliott.
Especially because he was injured in the beginning of the season and came back. It's quite tough also with the guys in the midfield, but I'm happy for him. I'm always there to help him, and he's a great lad and always try to give his best. And he come like sometime 5 minutes, sometime today he had 45 minutes. He was great, so I'm happy for him.
So Liverpool 2-1 winners against Lille, as we mentioned. Liverpool top and very close to winning the league phase. Lille down in 11th on 13 points. They'll have to wait until Wednesday's fixtures finish to see where they are heading into their final game of this new league phase. Next, we'll head to Monaco, who beat Aston Villa by 1-0, and there was just the early goal to decide this match.
6 Monaco shirts inside that Aston Villa penalty area. Nick Powerfully, and in on the rebound. And it's centre-back Wilfried Tsingo who gives Monaco the early lead here.
So that was the winning moment. It came after just 8 minutes for Monaco. Here is the Aston Villa centre-half Tyrone Mings, who was in reflective mood following their loss on the French Riviera.
We weren't good enough. Definitely wasn't a lack of effort. We have no excuses. I gave a poor ball away leading to the corner. Didn't defend the corner very well. Couldn't get back in the game, couldn't take chances that we had. And that is the fine margins of football, especially when you're coming away to a European team like this who is so desperate to win as well we were. But I think it's very simple the way that the game went. We just weren't good enough.
So Monaco 1-0 winners at home then, and it's a great result for them. They actually join Aston Villa on 13 points. Villa remain 8th, Monaco in 10th. Loads of teams have 13 points. Next Wednesday, when everyone plays at the same time, it's going to be absolute bedlam, and we're going to keep you abreast of everything that's happening, who's going through, who's not, right here on Match Day Live. That is 4 games reviewed on a superb night of UEFA Champions League football. Still 5 more to talk through.
The official UEFA Champions League podcast.
Next we go to Bergamo in the north of Italy. Atalanta were looking to boost their hopes of a top 8 finish, while Sturm Graz needed a victory to keep their chances of qualifying for the knockout phase alive. Here's how this one unfolded.
And they've given it away, Samardzic to roll it wide. Scored at one end, then they concede at the other. Look at the numbers in blue and black here. Cuadrado drives it across and in from Mario Pašalić. Finally, they have the second goal that they so richly deserve. It was scooped into that near post. It might go anywhere. It's fired in by Charles de Ketelaere. And now the floodgates might just open here for Atalanta. 2 goals in 4 minutes. Ketelaere just floats that in, and that Imola Lookman does make it 4. Dancing feet again of Imola Lookman. What about this for a run? Brescianini surging through for 5.
Center.
Important night for classification and also for the feeling for us, because we didn't win for some games. So it's a nice feeling to return at winning and making some goals.
Tell us a bit about your performance. Obviously, you're the player of the match, you have a goal, assist, but not just that.
Yeah, we had a lot of attacking actions. I think even all the attackers did good in helping the defense the moments that we could. So I think it was a great match from everybody. And yeah, first half was maybe a little bit more energy their side, so we had more difficulties to create the open chances. And then second half, it was more open and was nice to play and create a lot of chances.
Our reporter Vieri Capretti with the question there. You heard from the player of the match, Charles de Ketelaere, who was one of Atalanta's heroes. The current Northern Ireland women's manager, Tanya Oxley, still with me. Five different goal scorers. How much pleasure will that give Gasperini as a coach, or any coach, when the goals are shared out like that?
That's great. It means you know, everyone's getting some confidence, everybody is, you know, sharing the load. There's nothing, it's all good and well to have a prolific goal scorer in your group, but if something then happens to that particular player, then you know, knowing that you've got other players within your squad that can score goals is nice feeling as a manager. So to share the load and have multiple different goal scorers is a good night's work.
For Sturm Graz, their opportunity now to finish in one of the top 24 spots has come to an end. They are top in Austria, having another brilliant season there, Tanya. They've not played a competitive match because we're on the winter break in Austria. It's freezing cold. They haven't played a competitive game since match day six. How tough is that to come into a match against a team who are playing every 3 days or every week at the moment in Atalanta?
You can do everything that you can to try and maintain some sort of level of football fitness and friendly matches, whatever it is that you're doing, to try and make sure that you're prepared and ready, but nothing replaces the real thing. And you know, it's a difficult one because there's not really a solution for it at this point.
So comfortable winners, Atalanta. Next we go to Bologna, not too far away actually. They beat Borussia Dortmund by 2-1 to record a famous win, their first ever win in the UEFA Champions League. They fell behind to a penalty from Seru Girassi. Panenkadit just about beat the goalkeeper. 2 goals in the space of less than a minute, then turned it around for Bologna. Thijs de Linga equalised, and then Samuel Eiling Jr. won it. Amazing success for them. Jonathan Beck had such an amazing season last season to reach the Champions League. Hadn't quite happened yet, but this gives them something to aim for on match day 8. And what a night for Bologna, as I mentioned. First 3 points in the UEFA Champions League.
It's great to see these teams doing it. To get there, brilliant to see these sides coming in and doing that and giving themselves a real boost with the game to go.
Yeah, we've heard a lot this season as well about how the whole city of Bologna, which is an incredible place to go, student city, how it's become a serious football city. Everyone's very proud of their football club, and they certainly will be this evening. Elsewhere, it finished Club Brugge 0, Juventus 0. They almost won at Juventus through Locatelli, but Club Brugge had some opportunities as well. They're having a very good season in the UEFA Champions League. Club Brugge up to 17th and on to 11 points. Juventus 1 point ahead of them on 14th in the table. Both of those teams have a lot to play for on match day 8 next Wednesday, as do Stuttgart, thanks to beating Slovan Bratislava by 3-1. This was an impressive performance. Jonathan, I know you watch the Bundesliga a lot, the German Bundesliga. Stuttgart needed this. They were outside the top 24 places before this evening. They're now up to 21st, which would put them through to the knockout phase playoffs. And they showed their quality with 3 goals away from home in Slovakia.
Yeah, I mean, in contrast to Dortmund, that's a fourth straight victory for Stuttgart, who have started 2025 brilliantly, really. And last season was amazing. You know, they pipped by into second place on the final day and then lost some big players. Girassi going to Dortmund. So for them to do what they've done so far, it's a testament to Sebastian Hornus, the coach, who's one of the best and most promising coaches in the Bundesliga at the moment. And four straight victories is brilliant. And they go to Mainz, another in-form side at the weekend, although they lost at the weekend as well. So that's good news for the Bundesliga with Stuttgart winning tonight and getting into those playoff places.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next Wednesday when everyone plays their final games. And the final Tuesday match to look back on also was absolutely packed full of incident. I mean, this could have led the show on another night. Finished Sevena Zvezda 2, PSV Eindhoven 3. PSV were 3-0 up thanks to two goals from Luke de Jong and one from Flamengo. He then got sent off. Sevena Zvezda got two goals back. They pushed for the equaliser. They couldn't quite get it. And it means the PSV are up to 16th. Massive win for them. Sevena Zvezda remain on 3 points. And their chances of finishing in one of the top 24 spots are now over. But a very big night for Peter Bosz and the current Dutch Eredivisie League leaders. So I will run you through the league phase table. Many teams, of course, still playing their seventh matches on Wednesday. Liverpool lead the way with 21 points. Then come Barcelona in second on 18. Atleti third on 15. Atalanta fourth on 14. Then a whole host of teams on 13 points, from Arsenal in fifth all the way down to Lille in 11th. So it's Arsenal, Leverkusen, Inter, Aston Villa, Brest, Monaco, Lille all have 13 points. Then there are three teams on 12 points, Bayern, Dortmund, Juventus and AC Milan, four teams actually. Then come PSV, then come Club Brugge, Benfica, Sporting, Feyenoord, Stuttgart, Real Madrid, Celtic and Manchester City. That is the top 24. All those teams, as things stand, would extend their Champions League seasons in some way. And the teams who would be eliminated currently, Dinamo Zagreb, Paris Saint-Germain, Bologna, Shakhtar, Sparta Praha, Girona, Sevena Zvezda, Sturm Graz, Salzburg, Leipzig, Slovan Bratislava and Young Boys. The full standings, of course, on UEFA.com and on the official UEFA Champions League app. That will all change on Wednesday. And Match Day Live is back on air from 8:45 CET to take you through it. Our featured commentary is an absolutely key game between two teams who we're used to seeing in the semi-finals and even the finals, because Manchester City are taking on Paris Saint-Germain. Manchester City, a reminder, 24th in the final place that goes through. Paris down in 26th. They're currently being eliminated. So it's a huge game. And the City boss, Pep Guardiola, is looking forward to facing a great friend in the Paris Saint-Germain dugout. Here are his thoughts on facing Luis Enrique's side.
I think it's a young team with incredible quality in the middle, dynamics. The pace they have to Barcola, Dembélé, so it's really good. They still have the incredible experience with Marquinhos, the pace for Nuno Mendes and Hakimi. People say, nah, it's easy to win, easy to win. Never is easy to win. Even Paris Saint-Germain win every season the French league, it's not easy. You have to prove, you have to do it. So there are many things I like it. The connection I can have with Luis, so we were mates in Barcelona, and after our families are really, really close friends. There are friendship that you know that will be eternal, will be for forever. We can be disagree in many things, but the intentions always are good. I love them. I think they love us. So we are an incredible connection in many, many things. Even you had the feeling that is a person, a friend, like you cannot be in touch for a long time, but always is there. And we are happy when we see each other. Of course, I want for deep of my heart the horrible performance from PSG tomorrow. So that we can beat them, but will be the 95 minutes afterwards. The relation always will be there.
Lovely stuff from Pep Guardiola on Luis Enrique, his great friend, as you heard. And of course, great Barcelona connections between those two. Other matches on Wednesday, and nearly everything has something on it. There is so much to play for in this new league phase. I think we knew that the final two match days were going to be important. Whether we knew they were going to be quite as tight as this, I'm not sure. But we're all here for it on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. The two early kickoffs, Leipzig against Sporting and Shakhtar host Brest, who have been one of the great stories so far. Can they take another step forward to a top eight spot? Real Madrid host Salzburg. It's Sparta Praha, Inter. Arsenal welcome Dinamo Zagreb to London. Celtic face Young Boys in Glasgow. Great atmosphere at De Kuip. Feyenoord against Bayern, and Milan are up against Girona. Tanya and Jonathan still with me. Tanya, any of those games apart from City, Paris Saint-Germain?
You've stitched me up there.
Oh, you can go for it. Go on, then. That's the one you're looking forward to, right?
It's going to be brilliant. I think, you know, when you look at the games that are on tomorrow night, that's the one that stands out for sure. And look, Pep knows how to build it up a little bit too, right, with the rivalry. And I just think, you know, when you look at the styles of play of these two teams and the two managers, it's definitely a mouth-watering clash, and it's definitely the one that I'm looking forward to the most.
And as I mentioned, that serious jeopardy as well, actually, for both of these clubs, which only adds to the intrigue, right?
It does. It adds to the pressure. You want a consequence at the end of it, and the fact that we could see one of them not be kind of in the knockout stages is massive. So you know that both teams are going to throw everything at it, which is what you want to see, it's going to be a brilliant game.
Jonathan, of the other matches.
Sorry, Jonathan, I've taken the winner there.
Tanya's absolutely done.
I'm going to go with Feyenoord Bayern, which feels like it should have been a European Cup final from the early 70s.
It does, yes.
But, I mean, Bayern on a great run. They've also started 2025 really well, top of the Bundesliga. They've actually only met a couple of times before in Europe. I think the last one was 2001 in the Champions League group phase. And they're not doing too bad, Feyenoord. They're on a dip at the minute. But if they can get something, that might just be enough for them to actually make the knockout stages of this competition for, I think, for the first time since it has been the Champions League. For a big European name, that would be such a really big achievement in their current form.
Quite literally will be bouncing to Kuip as well. We'll have the goals as they go in from all of those matches with Rob Daly on the team on Wednesday. Let's quickly look back on Tuesday to finish this evening, though, and we can hear from Benfica striker Vangelis Pavlidis. A bittersweet night for him. He scored a hat-trick inside 30 minutes, but he was still on the losing side against Barcelona.
Really good night for me. Of course, when you score 3 goals against Barcelona, it's a dream. You cannot dream it. And yeah, when it happens, of course, it's nice, but it's also painful because I think we need to do it more as a team to take the points, and maybe not the 3 points, but minimum the 1. And yeah, we had a good game, and it's difficult to talk about that today.
Well, from the losing camp to the victorious dressing room in that fixture, 5-4 to Barcelona. Here's their head coach, Hansi Flick.
We are winning together, we are losing together. It's not about one player, it's about the team. And I think as a team we can play much better. Not at the end, you know, at the end about the mentality. Sometimes we also have to play like this. I loved what I saw in the second half.
He's happy, no surprise, and so is Arne Slot. Let's finally hear from the Liverpool boss after their 2-1 win against Lille.
It's what it is at Liverpool. We have more than 11 good players. We have many good players, so then if you bring players in, they can score goals like the ones who start. So that's the privilege of being the head coach of Liverpool.
He sounds like he's been Liverpool coach for years, Arne Slot. He only walked in after Jurgen Klopp departed at the end of last season. Moment of the night. Tanya and Jonathan, putting you on the spot again.
Oh, wow. Choose one.
Choose one.
Choose one. I think for me, the Atleti first goal, because of the way it swung the game. Sorry if I've taken your thunder again. I retract. The way that it swung the momentum in terms of the game, and obviously the atmosphere within the stadium, it was pretty magical. For me, that's the moment of the evening.
I'm going to have to go with the... I mean, it's easy to say the winner from Alvarez, isn't it? Because that's almost in stoppage time and they take it. Maybe the sending off of Incapier, which then brings it back to 10 against 10 and gives Atleti that extra spur to believe they can go on and win it. Not that Atleti under Diego Simeone ever lacked belief, let's be honest.
They certainly did not. Terrific win. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Tanya, that is about all we have time for on this Champions League Tuesday. UEFA Champions League football in January. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it? And it was a terrific beginning to this week. Don't forget, you can download the official podcast shortly after every match night. And Matchday Live is back on air, 8:45 PM CT. Full commentary of Paris Saint-Germain against Manchester City. The goals as they go in from the rest of Wednesday night's matches. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.